And having scourged Jesus, Pilate delivered him unto them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I know that many of you are members, as am I, of the Universal Living Rosary Association, founded in the 19th century by the Venerable Pauline Jaricot in France. And by this Rosary Association, the Living Rosary, we share in the other mysteries of the Rosary, one of whose decades is assigned to us, so that each day we get the grace of a whole 15 decades of the Rosary, and many, many complete Rosaries are thus made up and said throughout the whole world each day. It must be a work very pleasing to our Lord and our Lady. Now, the mystery that was assigned to me when I joined a number of years ago is the second sorrowful mystery, the scourging at the pillar, about which I want to speak to you for a moment this evening. I've had occasion to meditate then on this mystery every day for a number of years. You too, though, if you've had the grace to see that beautiful movie, The Passion of Our Lord, that came out a couple of years ago, you too must have some thought, some memory, some mental picture of this, the most physical of the mysteries of our Savior's passion. Perhaps along with the act of Christ being nailed to the cross, the most painful. We are privileged to have one of the few statues in existence in this country of the scourged Christ, which is on display in the side chapel now, just through tomorrow, because then on Sunday the statues are veiled. It's a pretty realistic picture, and it helps one's meditation. But even I think that picture couldn't compare with the reality. But the movie does a pretty good job of it. Our Lord was scourged at the pillar. There were two kinds of pillars. Some were very tall, and a man hung with his feet almost off the ground. In the case of the pillar of the scourging, which is venerated at the Church of Santa Preside in Rome to this day, it was a low pillar, and the column was so set up with the chains that the condemned man had to lean at a distance over it. The flagellus that was used by the Romans for the scourging was a whip with many tongs or pieces of leather, and at the end of most of these pieces of leather was a piece of bone or of jagged metal called the talus, which, if the thong of leather stung the body, then the little jagged piece at the end caught the skin and ripped it, so that some men died skinned alive, Horace, the ancient Roman writer, writes, and many died of a shock to the system and the loss of blood. But experienced Roman executioners just knew just how far to push it and not any further, so that the condemned man would not be spared the gruesome pageantry of carrying the cross and of being nailed to it and of hanging upon it for hours before dying. Sometimes in saying the rosary, we refer to the fruit of the mystery, the grace we ask for. Having this picture in mind of our Lord's bloody scourging, and as I say, the movie, that statue, any visual aid is of such an assistance to get some idea of what he suffered. We ask for the grace of the mortification of the flesh, We ask for the grace of purity. Our Lord was stripped naked when he was scourged at the pillar. We ask for the grace of modesty. We make reparation for all those who go around half or more naked today without a bit of a sense of shame. We ask reparation for all the sins of the flesh, which engender so much suffering of the spirit. The scourging at the pillar. A number of years ago, I made a detour in my trip down to our chapel in Louisiana to spend a few hours in Houston, in Texas, because at their art museum, there was a show on the body of Christ in art, it was called. And there was one little painting there which captivated me amongst many beautiful paintings, many of which referred to the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, in the term of Christ's Passion, as we've been speaking about a bit this Lent. It was a picture of our Lord scourged at the pillar, and then angels with pattens or with linen purificators picking up the pieces of flesh that must have flown off Christ's body and sopping up his adorable blood. And I think of the movie, the venerable Anna Katharina Emmerich, in her revelations, how that Claudia Procula, the wife of Pilate, sent down a basket of linen towels to Our Lady and St. Mary Magdalene. And with these, on their hands and knees, they wiped up all of the spilt precious blood and all the adorable pieces of his flesh from the pavement of the Praetorium. And then you remember how it happens that the priest would have that misfortune from time to time through inadvertence or sometimes carelessness, that a priest drops a host at the true Mass, I mean. What happens? Why, he goes to his knees and he waits for the server to bring a cloth, and the server has to lay it down over the spot. And then later on he has to come back again and kneel down and wash that spot. And the water has to be poured down into the sacred drain, which goes straight to the ground. Now, that only takes place at the true Mass. In the new Mass, most people receive communion in their hand. If our Lord is present there, even in some of them, can you imagine the sacrilege? Because, as you know very well, from the sacred host of little particles come. And God is present in each particle of a consecrated host that can be seen by the eye. Who do you think was behind communion in the hand, if not the devil himself? I remember as a young man in a Novus Ordo modern seminary, before I had the grace to leave the new church for the false religion that it is, scandalized to see when they first started communion in the hand, seminarians who would receive and then on the way back. Do you think it is the Church of Christ, our Holy Mother, that would make such rules and allow such sacrileges? If our Lord was present in the host that day, be sure there were angels on their knees, just as in that painting, sopping up all of those little particles of the body of our Lord. The sacrileges without end for so many years, authorized by Paul VI and all of the rest of them, how they will answer to God for what has been done. God have mercy on men. How we offend our Lord. But there is more to this mystery. After we have considered our own sins of the flesh and those of others, the worst sin, which is that of sacrilege, because it goes against God himself, finally we come to an affair of the heart. The heart. Why, I ask myself, why was our Lord scourged at the pillar? Pilate didn't want it. Pilate wanted to see our Lord released. He, in some feeble, weak, worldly way, wished him well, if only to please his wife or out of fear of superstition or not wanting the trouble of it he knew something Pilate did. He didn't want to see our Lord suffer. Why did he send him to be scourged then? For one reason, to try to move the Jews to pity. Therefore, St. Luke writes that Pilate said, I will chastise him, and therefore release him, thinking, well, if they see our Lord in this bloody state, it will be enough, it will satisfy them. They wanted something done to this man, and surely that would be enough. And after our Lord was scourged, and after he was crowned with thorns, he was presented to the people, standing there in a pool of his own blood, beaten to a pulp, and that is no exaggeration, with a purple garment of mockery around his shoulders, and a reed in his arms. Ecce homo, Pilate cried, behold the man, here he is. Crucify him, was their cry. As for the case of certain animals, the blood only excited the bloodlust. They were not satisfied. They were not moved to pity, not in any human way, and not in any spiritual or supernatural way. They could see our Lord in that state, and their hearts were cold as stone. I looked for one to have pity on me, and I found none. We pray in the Mass of the Sacred Heart every first Friday. No man had pity on him, save only our Blessed Mother and the holy women, St. John, who waited to wipe up the pieces of his adorable flesh from the floor. But God had pity on us. When our Lord was in that state, Almighty God was moved at the sufferings of his Son to forgive us our sins. For he hath laid on him, Isaiah writes in the Old Testament, the iniquity of us all. The scourging is a mystery of man's heart, how it can be so cold sometimes, so unmoved by suffering. The scourging is a mystery of man's flesh, how easily it is stirred to passion, and every shameful sin, at least in thought and desire, if not in execution. And both of these, as well as countless sins of sacrilege against the Holy Eucharist, does our Savior expiate there at the pillar on Good Friday morning. If only we could learn the lesson that bypassed the Jews of old, to have pity, to be moved with sorrow, to feel it, and to want that suffering to go on no more. And if we think of it, the sins against purity, they are the sins which scandalize little children, which rob away their innocence. The sins of so many wicked priests in this place and throughout the whole world for so many years, with the wink, wink, and the nudge, nudge on the part of the bishops who knew. They knew, as well as knew better, and they just went right along with it. Because as long as you practice the new religion, you are part of the Masonic Brotherhood, and everything was fine. The sins of so many women, young women, by their lack of purity, by their despisal of holy modesty, all of this leads to suffering. The suffering of God's most innocent, the children. If only we could make the link Surely, we would say, no, I wouldn't want that child to suffer. No, I'll make that sacrifice. I'll stay with God's commandments, at least for that, that my heart would be moved at last to pity. But no, for so many, it's a cold look in the eye of that young person. And he or she goes about his sin with no thought to those who must suffer. Just as the Jews of old looked defiantly right at our Lord, scourged at the pillar, and cried out for more blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.